You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Wild weekend as far as NBA free agency is concerned. Been actually a wild couple of weeks. Always entertaining. The NBA offseason to me is always number one. And we'll talk about some of the big moves, some of the big winners, maybe even some of the big losers. Also a couple of other big names that will be on the move eventually if it's Dame Lillard or if it's James Harden. Joining us right now to have that conversation as he does every Monday, we have James Holas. He's half the Dunk Tales pod and he's joining us over the phone right now. James, always a pleasure.
Hello, hello, hello. Interesting week so far. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Absolutely. I look forward to this talk every week. As far as you're concerned, big winner so far in free agency, who's it been? Not even free agency. We say offseason in general. Who's it been?
I guess Phoenix, man, for the simple fact that I might not be as high on Beal as a lot of people, but they also got the Eric Gordon signing. They got a lot of, like, Watanabe. A couple other guys on minimums that would really help other teams, and they did it they have no wiggle room. So they kind of made it happen. So they also, I think, they retained their own guys. I think they already kept Okogie maybe. So no, either they didn't, though. I think getting Diop, getting the other guy from San Antonio was a good pickup, too. So they got wings. They added some depth when we saw last year in the playoffs. Phoenix really just didn't have it. And they got a perennial kind of all-star type guy who can also give you 25. I don't like the fit there, but if we're talking about just, you know, bolstering their team, got to give it to Phoenix. They took two off of Denver last year the way they were, and I think they got better. Phoenix.
Yeah, I think the Suns have definitely been winners. I know you probably won't agree too much with this. Celtic fans are a little bit down. I do like what Boston has done this offseason. I know it's going to hurt losing Marcus Smart. That guy was the heart and soul of the team. But I think from a talent perspective, I think Boston really did very well. I think they've kind of let me put it this way. Boston found a way to upgrade and get the absolute most out of what they were going to get from Marcus Smart. I like what Boston has done. I like what the Lakers have done. I think those are probably my three teams, Boston, Phoenix, L.A.
And so we're going to talk a little about the Lakers, but for the Celtics, sure. If you're just talking asset management, they turned Marcus Smart into Kristaps Porzingis and two first-rounders, which is pretty damn incredible.
It is.
But I guess my thing is that there's a human element involved here. This isn't just about stats on the paper and just contracts. And when you hear the reports, like Marcus Smart was just told the week before that, you know, all was good, he was on a trading block. It has shades of the IT2, Isaiah Thomas in Boston thing, where, you know, I get it's a business, but there's a human element, and the optics of it are pretty bad. Obviously, IT was a lot more intense because it was an injury thing, but when you have a guy who was there and he was your vet leader, he's the longest tenured guy, and you just ship him off so unceremoniously, it leaves a bad taste in the mouth of players and fans alike. And so let's see if Porzingis, not known for his toughness and his like big game play, if he can really step up now under this pressure, because this is not the Wizards where you can score 23 a night on a losing team. They're expected to win at the margin. So we shall see. Boston really accelerated their timeline from, all right, young team building, and, you know, various bites of the apple. This is, you know, the next 2 or 3 years are crucial right now.
Yet, isn't it intriguing, the idea of Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis all on the floor at the same time? I'm excited to see that, James.
I mean, sure. But, I mean, we also, you know, at one point had a dominant world-class defense that kind of dried up the very next year. You never know, man. The NBA is such a fluid thing. Tatum and Brown look destined to be back in the finals again, and that just, you know, that didn't go that way. So, I get it again. If this was a video game, I'd be all in. I just don't like the fact that Porzingis went to Dallas where there were expectations and he underwhelmed, went to a team that was full of losers, and all of a sudden the numbers look great. Let's see how he performs again now that they need efficiency and like every possession is going to kind of matter. Can he be one of those guys? And he hasn't shown it yet, so.
Again, James Holas, our guest right now. James, another team that I mentioned, the Lakers. Now, I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this. For one, team continuity to me last year was a problem for this team. They made vast improvements at the deadline. They had like 25 games to get things right, get on the same page. They made a deep run. And, you know, they were swept by Denver, but three out of those four games were very compelling. Did the Lakers do enough to push the needle over the top of Denver? Well, Denver lost a couple of key pieces. I do appreciate the fact that the Lakers found a way to keep Rui Hachimura. They found a way to keep D'Lo. They added Gabe Vincent. They added Taurean Prince. And they managed to keep Austin Reaves at a relatively fair deal. I mean, 4 years, $56 million. We didn't know what the market was going to look like for Austin Reaves. So I think when you look at it on paper, the Lakers did a fantastic job of retaining their own, adding a couple of nice pieces. I'm just not saying it was enough to propel them as being the team to beat in the Western Conference. That's my take on LA.
So my question is, retaining your own is huge, right? Continuity is a big thing. On the other side of that, and obviously teams knew, hey, if we put out a restricted offer, we give Austin Reaves an offer, the Lakers are going to sit on that offer for the full time they can and then just match it, their entire money up. Teams, the Lakers made that quite well known. Cool. Retaining your own is a big thing, right? So you're staying in place. You lose Dennis Schroeder, and I know that Michael Beasley was non-existent in the playoffs, but running up to the playoffs when the Lakers played so great, he was playing 25 minutes a night.
He played well. He played well. Yeah, he played well, no doubt.
He started half those games. He started 14 games. That matters. And so you lose him. Who else did they lose?
So they ended up losing. They lost Troy Brown as well.
Yeah, and Lonnie Walker. Matter. Brown doesn't matter. Fine.
Lonnie Walker as well.
Lonnie Walker is another big one. That he was playing 15, 20 minutes a night. And I know he missed a lot of games. He kind of fell out of the rotation. But he came and won them a playoff game. And his length and his activity and his athleticism, it mattered. So Gabe Vincent, very good player. Are we sure he's better than a Schroeder? I don't know. I don't think so. They also signed, who else they signed?
They got Taurean Prince as well.
Taurean Prince, very good player. On a mediocre team, is he going to be better than a combination of Beasley and the other guy? You know, like, is it or about the same? Probably, because he's a 11 point game a night. That's fine. We don't know what Cam Reddish is, right? Because he's been on, this is be his, what, fourth team, and it's all about potential with him, showing you nothing. I like the Jackson Hayes pickup, right? He's been a decent backup, and he's very athletic. But I feel like maybe it's been one step forward, one step back with the Lakers. LeBron's going to be a year older. Anthony Davis a year older. Still have those questions about him and his every night production. I don't know, man. I don't see where, like you said, sure, they at least probably stayed in place. I don't think they got worse, but I don't know if we know if they're much better.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's more about keeping Jared Vanderbilt. They got him at a you know, I think it's like $4 million. Getting Austin Reaves locked up, getting Rui locked up, getting these guys locked up. For me, James, it's one of those deals where it's like, finally, there is some roster continuity. And I know it's the LeBron factor. I know this, right? We saw this in Miami. We saw it in Cleveland. There's a LeBron factor. You want to win right now. And I don't fault that one bit. But at some point, over the last 4 years, this roster has been a revolving door. And I think they finally have some clarity into the future.
Yeah, and again, though, the big thing is that everything starts and stops with LeBron James. No matter, these guys are all great pieces to go around LeBron James. And if he takes even a half step, like a half of a step back, which we know he would. Last year we already saw it. LeBron is not the LeBron of 2018, and that's normal. Amazing player at his age. If Anthony Davis doesn't step up and become more of a force, none of that matters, right? Because there'll be, again, a regular season team that's going to win some games. But we saw those guys can't play in the playoffs. Some of these guys aren't going to be able to play in the playoffs. You know, we've seen that. Like, so great moves, great continuity. Austin Reaves seems like a real keeper. Rui hopefully has a great year. Let's see what did the Lakers go down the stretch last year?
Well, were they 15-7? I want to say 14-8, something around that mark.
Let's go 15-7. So that's a pretty good winning percentage. That's what, 66%.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a much longer season, right? It's one thing for a sprint down the end. Now they have to do it for a full year. Hopefully they could take more of a load off LeBron so he doesn't – we saw he ran out of gas in the playoffs. He did. He ran out of, against the Nuggets, he ran out of gas.
Yep, yep, he did on several occasions.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's – it all starts and stops with LeBron. It's all about getting guys to bolster him. They did a good job of getting a little bit deeper, and let's see if these other guys – the continuity really helps.
Again, James Hill is our guest right now. James, a couple of big names that we need to watch – would be Damian Lillard finally, formally requests a trade out of Portland. My God, this has been a long time coming. I know so many people are happy that Dame finally just come out and said, look, it's probably in your best interest to trade me. Now he's trying to force his way to Miami, and to be honest with you, I kind of appreciate the fact that Portland says, well, we're not just going to deal you where you want to go. I think Dame ends up in Miami, but this is something that we've been talking about for a couple of years, and finally, there's actually some oil with the fire, right? We're cooking with something here. He's going to get dealt, and I asked you last week, has Dame played his last game in a Blazer uniform, and you called the last week. You said yes.
Yeah, it just felt like we were in that final stage of a really awkward relationship where they obviously didn't hate each other, but they weren't a good fit. I feel like maybe the organization probably has a little bit irked by the fact that he didn't do this immediately after the season, where they could have said, all right, we can move for draft assets. We have a lot more flexibility. But now that they've made the picks and he wants to do these, you know, now he was giving them time. They didn't want the time. Hey, man. And so it's a real awkward position. I feel it would have been much better and easier to put together a two or three team deal before the draft as far as assets and stuff. And now he wants to go to Miami. He's going to try to bullhead his way to Miami. A lot of years left on that contract. Miami doesn't, you know, they're going to want to hold on to Tyler Hero. This will be, and like you said, Portland, as much as they love him, it's a business. Almost like from the other end, where Marcus Smart kind of got bushwhacked. I feel like they kind of feel the same way. And like, oh, we're going to do what's best for us. So, teams aren't going to give up a lot of assets for him if they know he's going to be there. They probably don't want Miami's deal, so they're going to have to make a two or a three or maybe four teamer. This will be interesting.
Can you land a better player than Tyrese Maxey if you're Portland? Is that the best player? Now, we'll throw assets aside. Is that the best individual player you're going to be able to land in a deal? And I bring that up because I think Philly's going to be in the running for Dame. I really do. Will they get a better offer than Tyrese Maxey?
It's hurt my heart to say this, but it's been a couple days, and we see all these Mac extensions going on. And one guy hasn't signed his yet, and people are starting to wonder why, Jaylen Brown. I would not be completely shocked, and it would suck, but the longer he drags out signing his max extension or whatever extension he's going to get or whatever a decision being made, it almost makes me feel like, you know, maybe Boston is, hey, if we're in for a penny, we're in for a pound. And Jaylen, we love you, but you look terrible in the Eastern Conference Finals, and this might be a shot to put Dame with Porzingis and Tatum. That's like the best teammates he's probably ever had, best trio, and we might make a run for it this year. So it wouldn't floor me if that happened. So sure, Maxey's great. You know what? Here's the thing. Hero is right there with Maxey when we talk about who's the better player.
Sure.
So yeah, so that those are my – obviously Maxey's great and then Hero, but yeah, I think Jaylen would trump both of those.
Outside of Portland, James Harden is another name, and it's his time in Philly is done. I mean, I guess when you look at this on paper, there's a couple of different places James Harden could actually go. Does any team outside of the Clippers make more sense in L.A.?
And even the Clippers don't really make sense. It's just like James Harden has obviously lost a big step. I mean, but like that's the one team that we hear connects him, right? So, yeah. But he's lost a step or two. He as great as he was for two games against Boston, he absolutely stunk in the other five games. I think he averaged like 13 points a game in the other five games and shot like 32% from the floor, some nonsense. And he's making, you know, he wants big money. And he, even though he's expiring this year, he's still going to want a contract. So you're going to give up real assets for him. It's almost like the opposite of the Dame, where you have long-term money and he's still a really, really, really good player. Where Harden is, you know, he's kind of a clunky fit. He doesn't seem to have a lot of he doesn't seem very dedicated to anything, right? This is what his third trade demand in like 2.5 years or something. So it's a strange situation. I'm glad that I hope Boston doesn't get involved in that sweepstakes because I want no part of James Harden.
Yeah, when you look at other teams that I guess realistically could get involved. Obviously, in the state of Utah, people want Dame Lillard in a Jazz uniform. He's got that Weber State connection. It's been a very long time. I'm trying to think of another player that has been as beloved in the state of Utah that did not play for the Jazz. I'd probably have to go back to Jimmer Fredette, who just had a cult following here in the state of Utah. People love Dame. When you look at teams like Utah, and we can throw Sam Presti and Oklahoma City out there as well, these are teams that aren't super competitive at the moment. Well, I shouldn't say they're not super competitive. These aren't great championship contending teams, but James, they have the assets to really get involved in some of these big, you know, these big player name deals that we're talking about here. Do you appreciate the fact that Utah and Oklahoma City have set back with their assets and played it very, very tight?
100%, man. They are set up for the long haul and the short term. They have good young players. They have actually a promising on the rise young star in Shea, and then in Markkanen. I guess the big thing though with a guy like Dame at his age, do you want to say, okay, I'm added to this team, we lost a lot of pieces to get here, and now what are we, a fourth seed, maybe a five seed? These guys are all untested, you know what I mean? So that's where it would be difficult, just the age and how he matches up with the experience and what's going to be happening in those teams. I think the Jazz are a little bit further along, obviously, with a guy like Markkanen and some of the pieces they got. But, you know, I don't know what the, I don't know if Dame is that level of player. He's a borderline super-duper star, but there are very few players that you can say, hey, add him to the team and we're going to go to the finals. He's not one of those guys. So it's tough. It's tough it's tough for him. I think the sky's the limit for Utah and for OKC. It's sure, it'd be nice to get him, but all of a sudden that truncates what you're really trying to do, and as far as your assets, but no, they'd still be fine. But I don't think that's really realistic.
You know Danny Ainge and the way this guy maneuvers just as well as anyone, and the idea that Danny Ainge would give up the long-term stability that Utah is looking for a 32, 33-year-old Dame Lillard who hasn't played in more than 70 games, I think, in four seasons, just doesn't seem logical to me.
Yeah, but now here's a good thing, though. I think they actually have so many assets as far as contracts and draft assets, it wouldn't empty out the war chest. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like they could do it in a way where, sure, they can try it for a couple of years. If it doesn't work, then guess what? Now you got Dame on expiring. You can flip him for maybe some more assets. And you didn't just hamstring your team for, you know, the next decade, that's the kind of flexibility you want. You know, same thing with OKC. They could definitely do it, and it's, you know, cost them a pretty penny, but they have plenty of pretty pennies. So, that's why the Jazz fan base and Thunder fan base right now, there is no wrong answer, right? They can do everything is house money right now.
Yeah, when you look at where the Jazz are sitting and you look at where Oklahoma is sitting, you nailed this right on the head. You're giving up that. You have that long-term stability. Rather, I guess the fair comparison is Phoenix, right? I cannot wait to see what the Phoenix Sun roster looks like 3 years into this new CBA.
Yeah, they. It's funny because I've heard, you know, I listen to other guys like Zach Lowe and stuff, and they say some teams are going to just say, all right, well, we're so close to the apron, we're going to just blow past the second apron. We're going to just throw all our chips are on the table, and that's exactly what Phoenix did. They said, screw it. We're going to spend, and sure, we're going to be hard, like basically hard capped. We're not going to have all these things, but we might win a championship in the next couple of years, and that's where they're at, you know. But then when these contracts are up, oh, boy, and, you know, they start getting the penalties for being over the second apron. Oh, boy. So, hey, they're already down that road, and they're just shrugging, and they're doing the YOLO thing right now. And like you said, in a few years, this could be really ugly for the Suns.
He's James Holas. He joins us every Monday to talk NBA basketball. James, it is always a pleasure. Of course, very active on Twitter, especially this time as Summer League is getting ready to start. You know, the draft dust is kind of settled, and we have free agency and trade talk. Of course, talk about where the listeners can find more of you.
Twitter, and I'm not one blue sky since Twitter wants to start throwing in the rate limit things. So, that's it. We're going to start podcasting eventually, me and my buddy JP, again, somehow.
Yeah, I saw you were on a new platform over the weekend. Now, I talk basketball. For those who follow me on Twitter, I talk basketball with James. I talk baseball from time to time with Bill Lasky, another guest. I talk like to three people on Twitter, and I was given a warning for spamming. I'm like, what in the world is going on here?
It's so weird, man. I'll send you an invite to Blue Sky. Come join us.
Sounds good, James. I appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, brother.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We are live from the Sutherland Studios, and it's here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.